And welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. I'm your host, Matt Gaff, and today we are going to talk about prayer and the small town. Basically, we're going to go through the scripture. We're going to look at giving to the poor and the prayer from Matthew 6, 1 through 15. So that whole is the, you know, our Father who art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That we're going to actually look through that really quickly. Obviously, I'm not going to use the King James Version. I prefer to use the NSAB version. I think that has a lot better. It's translated better. It's easier for most people to understand. King James isn't hard to understand if you've read, you know, Shakespeare and stuff like that and understand Old English. But I think for modern day, I think you need to have it translated so everyone can understand it in a good fashion, and that's where I think this one does. As always, visit faithcast.com to discover great Christian podcasts like this one, and kind of helps you keep your faith. Check it out. I'm on the entertainment portion of that. Also, I want a big shout out to everyone who's new, who's listening. I appreciate all of the new fans coming on and joining our small town here. You can think of this as your hometown if you want to now. So, welcome home. Let's put it that way. So let's just dive straight into this, because I feel as though this is going to kind of wrap up the whole series that we've done with repentance and grace, forgiveness. And I think that's, you know, what we need to do is we need to know how to pray. You know, we're supposed to pray daily. When in times of trouble, we need to pray. Even in times of joy, we need to pray and rejoice. So we're going to kind of finish this so we can get a good foundation of where I'm coming from, and hopefully where you can kind of see where we're going to go farther on. So when we start talking about prayer or anything, you kind of have a good base of what my ideology looks like. So first of all, Matthew 6, 1 through 15, it's the giving to the poor and prayer. So it's one, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So once again, that's where we have to have, you know, we're not supposed to be flashy with our money. You know, we're supposed to help when we can, but we're not supposed to give with hopes that people will notice and take notice. We're not supposed to be famous on this world. We don't need anybody to know our name here, just up in heaven, which is a good song, by the way. There's a good song with that. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So once again, that's when you don't make a big flash. You don't make Facebook posts saying, "Hey, I just gave $1,000 and to the poor," or anything like that. It's supposed to be in secret, in private. What you do on earth in secret goes to, you know, goes up to heaven with you as your reward there. If you've done your reward here, if you've given money and you've gotten your acclamations through the world, you've already got your reward. There's nothing up in heaven for you then. So once again, when you do something, you can do it in private. You know, sometimes you're going to have to be vocal to get support for it, and that's a different story. This is talking about just giving strictly for giving. Okay. Next, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the streets, corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you that they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to our Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Once again, now that's not saying that when we have like closing prayer, that needs to be in secret. That's not, you know, leading prayer for meals or for services, that's different. We're talking about just openly going out, just flaunting your religion to the point where you want all look at me, I'm doing the best, this is how you should do it. You should live by example, not by deeds like that. So what they're saying there, or what Matthew is saying, is that you need to have an open heart, but also to not have to where you're wailing out in public with the, oh, you know, oh Lord, forgive me, and all my transgressions, and all this craziness that you see sometimes on the internet of people on the streets, or even some of the people just go really crazy with their prayers, and not actually come from heart, but just coming from what they hope people will hear and remember, and people will try to remember them rather than you know, Christ. So moving on, and when you are and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So once again, it's you don't need to go over and over and over. Oh Lord, please help my house. Please help my house. Please give me money. Please let me find money. There's no reason to go over and over and over. You're supposed to be very direct with your prayers and be very humble with your prayers, which I think we'll go into. I think after this, we're going to do a one on what does a prayer actually look like. There's an acronym that I had done a Bible study on, and what prayer stands for and how a good way of praying. So right now we're going to dive into the deepness of what Christ says our prayer should sound like and what it should look like, and then we'll go into that. So the next one, we're going to go over the acronym prayer. So remember that. Okay, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgotten our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for your transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So once again, breaking this down bit by bit, we have our Father who is in heaven. Once again, that's our heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name, or how holy is your name. Your kingdom come, meaning that his kingdom is coming. Your will be done, meaning that the works that we're supposed to be doing, the setup for Christ to come, needs to be done, which we've seen throughout the New Testament. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, meaning please nourish us with scripture, with knowledge, with your love. That's where it's going, not necessarily food. This is more of food for the soul. So, if you know, like chicken soup for the soul, that type of thing. So that's where that's going with that. And forgive us our debts. So if we have debts, we're supposed to, you know, we want debts against Christ, debts against other people. Please forgive our debts from that. And it goes on that we are supposed to forgive the ones that have trespassed, or transgressioned, or debts onto us. So if we've had somebody who has done us wrong, we're supposed to forgive them. We're supposed to forgive of their debts, forget of their transgressions, make peace with them. And then basically at the end, deliver us from evil, meaning that we need to make sure that we don't have that we don't fall into temptation with the devil, with Satan. We want to make sure that we stay focused on Christ. Now, obviously, we know everyone's sins, but what we're saying is please make it that our sins may not be one that we've known of. You know, somebody has either tricked us, or there's a lot of other things. A lot of times we sin without knowing we sin, which is why we do this. We don't realize we've sinned until later on when things come of light. So that's basically the one. That's what we've learned from school, from Sunday school, from church, and everything like that. I think what we're going to do is take a quick break. We're going to do that commercial break that we do so we can keep this ministry going. And then we'll come back, look at some more scripture that really focus on prayers and their relationship to us and the need for them. And then we'll wrap it up then. So I will see you in just a little bit. And welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. I'm your host, Matt Gaff. And once again, I appreciate you listening to that short little commercial. It just kind of helps kind of keep the anchor going and keep all the funds going. Anything we make, anything I make off of this goes right back into either getting a new camera, new microphone, or just donating to a local church. Not really going to plan on keeping any of the money. Just plan on either helping out the ministry to make it grow or just giving back to the local churches that may need the help, especially with the COVID and everything else. So just letting you know. So we've talked about prayer, and we read over Matthew 6, 1 through 15, which is basically the Lord's Prayer that we've all learned in Sunday school, memorized. Everybody kind of remembers how that goes, either from the King James Version or the standard NASB. So we want to talk about some of the things as far as what prayer is, or why we need to pray, mainly because there is no apostles here. We can't directly talk to Christ like they were able to in the past. And so what we're going to do, what prayer is that's our communication through the Holy Spirit to Christ or to God. And that's why it's important that we pray daily. You want to pray as often as you need to, but also remember that Christ or God knows what's in your heart and what you need anyway. So like we had already talked about earlier, that the Father knows what you need before you ask him, which is from the Matthew 6:8. So we already know that. So let's look at James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So once again, that's where we have to confess our sins to each other. So if I've done something wrong, I need to make sure I let that person know, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? And we'll go a little farther here on also that, but we also have to remember that, you know, you have to ask for forgiveness too. Now, granted, you can give someone forgiveness, but they need to also ask for it. If they don't ask for it, you can give it to them freely if you feel as though you need to, but they also need to come to you and say, hey, I forgive. The effective prayer of a righteous man. So if you are right in your heart, if you know without a doubt Christ is your Savior, if you stand by all of the things in the Bible, then it says you can accomplish much. Now, it doesn't say you're going to be rich. And that's where I want to make sure that prosperity thing doesn't come in here. This does not mean that you're going to be rich. It just means that you're going to accomplish much in Christ's name. All right, so there's nobody on earth that should be telling you, hey, give me $1,000 and boom, right here, righteous. You're righteous, so you're going to accomplish many, many businesses and stuff like that. That's not what they're talking about here. We're going to go to Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So right there is, we need to find ease in Christ. When we pray, you know, we should be feeling that relaxed. When we pray, that lets us give our sins up to our worries up to Christ, and that should help us, you know, feel a little bit more relieved. And if it doesn't, then obviously you need to talk to your pastor or your deacons or your elders or someone who's able to kind of break it down a little bit more for you with the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You could do it 24/7 if you want. I like to take a nap and go to sleep every once in a while. But basically what it's saying is you should be praying throughout the day, whether for someone's help. So like if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I'm having trouble with this, or I'm having trouble with that, or I just don't feel support or anything, that's when you need to stop right away and say, let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right? That's not when you say, okay, well, I'll catch you right before bed with prayer and stuff. That's what he's talking about, is we should be praying anytime we feel the need to pray. So, all right, so 1 Timothy 2:8. It says, therefore, I want the man in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and dissension. So, without wrath. So when you're praying, it shouldn't be, please, Lord, let that other team lose and have one of their players break a bone or something. That's not the way you should be praying. And unless it's for a team that you don't like. No, I'm joking. Joking. Sorry. But, you know, that's not the prayers that you want to be praying. You want to be lifting people up. You want to be asking for healing or for forgiveness or something like that. It's not to be making a blacklist and start, you know, seeing if Christ will do stuff for you that, you know, you shouldn't be doing. All right. And then Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. So, you know, rejoice in hope. You know, if there's the possibility of something, you know, that might be God's way of letting something happen for you that you've been praying for. So you want to rejoice in the hope. Be always constantly in prayer, devoted in prayer. And so that's kind of where we're at. That's the foundation of what prayer should be. It should be to help others, to heal others, to be asking for forgiveness, even asking for guidance. You know, you can pray if you're not sure what you should do for your work. You know, if you've got a couple job offers, you know, pray about that, because you can see where maybe one of them will give you more time at home. You know, maybe one of them will be a better fit for your health reasons or something like that. So, you know, always take anything that comes along before you make any major decisions. It should be through prayer. Now, if it's like a fantasy football league, you know, then, you know, go ahead and click it right away, especially if it's coming from me. All right. Just joking. But you want to take everything with to prayer before you make your decision. You want to have God's input into it. And then also, if the prayer doesn't seem as though it's necessarily fulfilling that idea, then you can always bring it to someone else, an elder, a mentor, you know, that stuff like that. That is something that by all means go ahead and check out and listen to someone who's more apt for this. So prayer here in the small town aspect of it is pretty nice, because once you post something on Facebook, almost everybody in the town knows. And so, you know, dramatically right off the bat, you're going to have more than one church praying for you. You know, I'm friends with other people from other churches. If I post something on Facebook, like I need prayers for this, I can guarantee I'm not only going to have my church, but I'm going to have the Methodist church. I'm going to have the Christian church. I'm going to have multiple other churches in the town and even in the area, other than just the Stones Hill Community Church, praying for myself, for my family, or my prayer request. And that's what's nice about a small town, is that you can put out that and you can get a large amount of prayers. And so I urge you, if there's actually prayer requests that you have or you want prayed over, by all means, check out my Facebook page, The Small Town with Matt Gaff, and post a prayer right there, or on Instagram or anything like that. And we'll pray for you. You know, we're a small town. This is your hometown too. If you've got prayer requests, pop it on there. We'll pray for you, or shoot me an email and I'll, you know, email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. And I'll pray for you right then and there. I've gone through multiple ministries, men's ministries and stuff like that. I have no problem with prayer with that. I think prayer is very important. I think it needs to be taught to everybody at the youngest age to understand that's how you communicate with Christ. So with that, I think next week, while doing this, just popped to my head, but I think we're going to go over how an effective prayer sounds like. We're going to build on what we just learned here. We're going to talk about what prayer, and that's P-R-A-Y-E-R, what that can stand. It was a good little thing that I have done, and I think that it pertains to this. So next week, that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn what prayer stands for and a good way of doing it. So we all have a good basis of what prayer kind of looks like or sounds like. So as always, once again, if you have prayer requests or anything like that, pop them on Facebook, email me, Instagram, Twitter, however you want to. I'm out there all over. We'll pray for you. Your small town will pray for you if you do that. and need that. So other than that, I will see you next week. And as always, you know, welcome to a small town.